All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Into the chat, Super Chopper Supernut is on. Jana Jones is on. Will Gilbert is on. Man 26 is on. Ambully is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Dave Souders is on. The Matriarch of the Chat, Fedora the Explorer, is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Jeannie Malfizi is on. Mike Griffith is on. D9597 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Kep Guy 1 is on. My Broken Heart is on. Why Not Me is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Snod Dodd 311 is on. Sheila K is on. Becklin 60 is on. Pit Rock 68 is on. Or Pitrock 68 is on. Aphrodites is on. C Suff is on. Todd Suff is on. Steffa Toms is on. Confederate One is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Bird Nerd is on. Grittedum is on. John Phillips is on. La Picket Fence is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Bud Dave is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me see here. People I haven't seen are Salty Gonads, the one and only, is on. Sun Woo 45. Sorry about that, is on. Gira B to God. Is that the right Jerry? Am I getting something wrong there? I don't know. Hey, back to you is on. Granite 2468 is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Love you guys. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Kamala Harris ended her political career tonight. Mark it down. Flag it, as Bongino says. I'm telling you right now, love you guys too. See some Howdy Toms on there. Hello, Pastor from Confederate One. Love you back, real wise. Appreciate you guys. Really do. Moto WNJBH. Hi, Pastor Tom. Good to see you guys. Love you. Appreciate you guys. It's Daphne and John from Michigan. Love you guys. Make sure Michigan goes red. And Trump is at least tied or leading in the polls in Michigan right now. But anyway, Kamala Harris, we now know why. Definitive proof why she doesn't do interviews. And if she ever does an interview, she does it with a political sycophant. We now know why that is, that she goes only on The View, goes on Howard Stern, whatever that daddy show was that she went on, all those different things. She only goes on shows that will lob her softballs. And you know what? You've got to give credit where credit is due. Brett Baer, and rightly so, because he called Arizona way too early in 2020, has gotten a lot of heat over the last 4 years. Rightly so. I'm not taking away from that. But you know what? Tonight, and let's all join in tonight and give Brett Baer applause. Great job. Great job. Really, he did. He did a great job. I mean, let's say when people do a great job, let's not hold their past against them. And don't worry, if he screws up again, we'll be all over him. I'm just telling you, you know what? He did a great job in this interview. He gave her opportunity. It wasn't like when Vance goes on and she has with Dana Bash and has no opportunity to answer. She had every opportunity to answer. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I know there's probably nobody that doesn't in this audience. 777 people that I can see right now. Also, Christian Television Network locally is watching right now. You probably already know what I'm talking about. But of course, she did her interview with Brett Baer. Supposed to be at 5 o'clock, was at 5:15 because she was late. That's the person who wants to be president of the United States, can't even show up on time. But anyway, that's what we'll start with in just a second. But he gave her time to answer every question. She refused. She will go automatically every single time, and we'll go over each and every one of these questions. I don't know if I'll get out of this section tonight. I don't know. Sorry, 9:13. I'm going to be done at 10:10. So, Aaron, don't laugh. I'll be done at 10:10. So, I don't know if I'll get out of this section, but we'll see. But this is the most important thing that's happened today is her interview with Brett Baer. But he gave her ample time to answer, but she would constantly go into filibuster mode. She didn't trot out, "I was raised in a middle-class family" this time. But every answer was along those lines. There was never a direct answer to one question that I saw. Not one question. So let's start off here. Johnny Maga video. Holy smokes. This is Brett Baer, and this is him talking about pre-debate. Play for me, Will.
You know, when the kicker in football, they call a timeout right before he's going to kick the field goal. They're icing the kicker. So we were supposed to start at 5 p.m. This was the time they gave us. Originally, we were going to do 25 or 30 minutes. They came in and said, well, maybe 20. So it was already getting whittled down. And then the vice president showed up about 5:15. We were pushing the envelope to be able to turn it around for the top of the 6 o'clock. So that's how it started. And I could tell when we started talking that she was going to be tough to to, you know, redirect without me trying to interrupt. I did this with President Obama. At one point, I just said, Mr. President, I know you like the filibuster. I just didn't even have the chance to sometimes redirect in those ways. I had a lot of other questions.
One. So, she was supposed to do a 35-minute interview, 30 to 35-minute interview. And then they came back. When did they tell him? Aaron loves this because he's a producer of a podcast. Of course, we're not landing Kamala Harris. I would love to interview Kamala Harris.
Oh,
welcome,
dude,
on the show.
Please.
But anyway, so she shows up 15 minutes late and then says that they're going to cut the time basically in half to maybe 20 minutes. So what was it really? I don't know because I didn't watch the entirety of the interview. I watched the slices and the dices of the interview, a lot of them numerous times, actually. So I probably watched 90, 95% of the interview because the interview was somewhere around 15, 17, 18 minutes long. And again, this is the person running for president of the United States who's late showing up. And I'm going to ask you this. What is she doing? Can anybody tell me what her schedule is for the day? Can anybody explain to me is she doing something tonight? We all know where Trump's at. One rally after another, one interview after another. Trump's every single day, 7 days a week, he's busy. What does she do? What has she done today? Anybody know? Any clue at all? What campaign rally was she at? What campaign rallies Walt's at? Please, you can send it to me. Maybe I'm misinformed. Maybe I'm ill-informed. Maybe I'm living under disinformation. But she isn't doing anything all day long. She can't even show up for an interview on time in Washington, D.C. She can't even show up. I mean, I'm assuming it's either Washington, D.C. or New York. She was there that day. It's not like flying in at the last minute. She knows where she's supposed to be. She's 15 minutes late, and then changes the time to maybe 20 minutes. And what else is she doing? Where does she have to be after the interview? She doesn't have anything scheduled. So why is she in some big hurry to get somewhere else? And, of course, she makes it very difficult for them. Because if he actually does the full-length interview with her, and he said, I had many more questions to ask her, he couldn't do it because they were airing the interview at the 6 o'clock hour, at 6 o'clock news. All right, so let's start breaking this thing down. Benny Johnson, here's her stance on Iran. Look how clear these answers are. Look how clear they are. Play it for me.
Experts thought you would say China. The FBI director had said that. But you said Iran. If that's the case, what do you say to critics who look at the actions of your administration and say you're not acting like Iran is the number one threat?
Well, I will tell you most recently, whether it was in April or in October, in the several hours on each occasion that Iran posed a threat to Israel, I was there. Most recently in the Situation Room, in the most recent attack, working with the heads of our military and doing what America must always do to defend and to support Israel in its requirement to defend itself and to give American support to be able to allow Israel to have the resources to defend itself against attack, including from Iran and Iran's terrorist proxies in the region.
Right.
And that is,
and
my commitment to that is unyielding and unwavering.
Critics just say that you either relaxed or failed to enforce sanctions on Iran, allowing all of this money to flow into Iran, like billions.
Let's go back to Donald Trump, who pulled out of a deal that would have actually put Iran in check.
The estimates
and
in billions.
It was during Donald Trump's
that
administration that
Iran regime
that we had an American military base that was attacked, where American soldiers suffered traumatic brain injuries, and Donald Trump dismissed them as headaches. Not to mention how Donald Trump has treated and talked about America's military and military service people, calling them suckers and losers.
Hamas
has diminished the significance.
We're talking over each other. I apologize.
Well, I would like that we would have a conversation that is grounded in full assessment of the facts, which includes, I think this interview is supposed to be about the choices that your viewers should be presented about this election, and the contrast is important.
Yes, ma'am.
And on the subject of Iran, I am offering what should be an important contrast that is presented for folks to make a decision.
Now, guys, just take it back to that beginning of the video and put it side by side. I'm just going to run it, and I'm going to talk over it for just a second. Just go ahead and side by side and run it. Oh, just pause it for just a second. So he asks her a point-blank question. He's about to ask her a point-blank question. You said Iran is our most serious adversary. Now, how in the world is Iran our most serious adversary? Anybody, how? Are they going to march upon D.C.? Do they have, I mean, the only way they have nuclear weapons is because of her, but they do not have a delivery system yet to get them to the United States. China has hypersonic technology. Russia has a couple thousand nuclear warheads that can be delivered onto the continental United States of America. And somehow or another, and our biggest geopolitical military adversary, the most advanced Navy on the planet, is not the United States Navy. It is the Chinese Navy, which is right now surrounding Taiwan. But the most serious threat to America is Iran. That is how stupid this woman is. I mean, so stupid. Doesn't mean that Iran's not evil. They are evil. They're the number one state sponsor of terrorism on the globe. However, they are certainly not the number one threat to America in any way, shape, or form. Which, by the way, we have like four Irans inside of America as far as oil production is concerned. So we don't even need their oil either. But anyway, so she's asked a point-blank question. Play it for me, Will, and I'm going to talk over it.
That's the case. What do you say to critics who look at the actions of your administration and say you're not acting like Iran?
Like Iran's the number one threat. So here's her answer.
Well, I will tell you most recently, whether it was in April or in October, in the several hours on each occasion, that Iran posed a threat to Israel.
Exactly how?
I was there.
You were there.
Most recently. Back to me. In the situation.
What kind of answer is that? You said that they are our biggest geopolitical threat in the world. How so, and what are you doing to defeat them? In April and October, they threatened Israel. Okay, Israel, not us. Israel, and I was there. What is that? What does that even mean? And she goes on this pathetic diatribe for 35, 40, 50 seconds, even a minute, till finally Bret Baier has to intervene and start to get her back online, because then she starts talking about Donald Trump calling soldiers suckers and losers. What does that have to do with Iran being the biggest threat to America? A, they're not. But if you're going to claim that they are, then illustrate how they are and what you're doing about it. We know one thing that she did about it. She gave them $60 billion to fund Hamas and Hezbollah. We know that Donald Trump locked up their $60 billion. He locked it up. And she and Joe Biden unlocked it, gave it back to them. And then when John Kirby, that idiot, is asked, where's the money gone, John? I don't know. After he swore they're going to track every dollar of it. So she claims to be a defender of Israel. Which again, that wasn't even the question. You said the biggest threat to America is Iran. Then you start talking about Israel. And an incoherent answer, because she's an incoherent, subpar human being. She has no idea what she's talking about. She's way out of her element. She needs to, I mean, she doesn't ever need to practice law. She needs to be a waitress at Applebee's for the rest of her life. That's the most that she can handle. And I'm not denigrating anybody. I used to be a steamer at Taco Bell. Didn't qualify to be a stuffer. I was a steamer. So I'm not denigrating anybody. And anybody that wants to start, as you know, as a waitress and rise, go ahead. She can't rise. She needs to stay right there. She is dumb. She is a dumb human being. Can't answer one solid question at all. And then, of course, she's talking about how she's defending Israel while she is funding directly the people that Israel is fighting, Hamas and Hezbollah, which are solely financed by the state of Iran. Answer the question. Doesn't do it. All right, well, we're finally going on to the next one. Wesley Hunt, am I on the right track here? Wesley Hunt video, Kamala Harris says, I'm not Joe. Play it for me.
Week, what, if anything, you would do differently than President Biden? Here's what you said.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be, And what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, you know, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump.
So you're not Joe Biden, you're not Donald Trump, but nothing comes to mind that you would do differently?
Let me be very clear. My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency.
It won't be now. So she says, there's not one thing that I would change over what the Biden administration did over the last 4 years. Not one thing. Man, she does the typical Kamala answer. Is there anything when she's asked by the ridiculous Sonny Hostin, is there anything that you would change over the last 4 years of the Biden administration? And she answers this the standard way with, she starts off with the really intelligent word, like she does all the time. Like Obama, all his speeches, everyone claims he's a great orator. There's not one thing that comes to mind. And then she has the audacity to say, we're not going to continue on doing what Joe Biden has been doing. This will not be a continuation of the Biden administration. If you're not going to change anything, then how is it not a continuation? Tom, you're not making sense. It's not me not making sense. It's her not making sense. And it's her whoring herself into every room to become what everybody wants her to be. In every room, that's what she does. You know, she knows now that did not land well in the political expediency realm. So now she's changed it that this will not be a continuation of the Biden administration after she has said for the last 3 months that it would be a continuation of the Biden administration and has taken credit for all of his disastrous policy decisions. All right, let's go to the next one. Where am I at here? Oh, here we go. Trump war room video. Bear, how many illegals would you estimate your administration has released into the country? Play for me, Will.
How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but do you think it's 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have an immigration system.
6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question, I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came into office, your administration immediately reversed a number of Trump border policies. Most significantly, the policy that required illegal immigrants to be detained through deportation, either in the U.S. or in Mexico. And you switched that policy. They were released from custody awaiting trial. So instead, included in those were a large number of single men, adult men, who went on to commit heinous crimes. So looking back, do you regret the decision to terminate Remain in Mexico at the beginning of your administration?
At the beginning of our administration, within practically hours of taking the oath, the first bill that we offered Congress, before we worked on infrastructure, before the Inflation Reduction Act, before the CHIPS and Science Act, before the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first bill, practically within hours of taking the oath, was a bill to fix our immigration system.
Yes, ma'am. It was called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021.
Exactly.
It was essentially a pathway to citizenship for the illegal.
Yes, ma'am. May I finish responding, please?
But
you have to let me finish.
You
please.
Had the White House and the House and the Senate,
I'm
and they
the
didn't bring up that bill.
I'm responding to the point you're raising,
okay.
And I'd like to finish.
Yes, ma'am.
We recognized from day one that to the point of this being your first question, it is a priority for us as a nation and for the American people. And our focus has been on fixing a problem. And from day one, then, we have done a number of things.
I just want everybody to know, Aaron, Will, everybody watching right now, it's a priority. Ah. Just wanted you to know. I mean, just so you know, it's been a priority for the last 4 years.
Oh.
They've done absolutely nothing. And let's go right at the start here. So Brett Baer asked her, how many illegals would you estimate that your administration has released into the country? All of us know she knows the answer to that. So why are you not answering it? Because you're ashamed of what you've done. And any Democrat that's watching or that ends up watching this, why would you vote for anybody who's ashamed of what they've done, who's ashamed of the end results of the policies they've initiated. Why would you vote for them? Why would you vote for them if they're ashamed of it? If there's something to be ashamed of, then why in the world would you initiate it? Because here's the thing. She's not ashamed of it. She's afraid of the consequences of acknowledging it. She's not ashamed of it. She wants it. Brett Barrett is, of course, being Foxy News, 6 million. It's 17 million that she's allowed into the country. Not even counting gotaways. 17 million that she's allowed into the country. She knows the numbers. She knows the reason why she let them in is for a voting constituency. That's what she did. And you have all these idiots, whether it's Martha Raddatz or Dana Bash or all the rest of the idiots, the various other MSC, the Chuck Todds and the other political pundits that call themselves journalists, they'll say, well, you know, it's already established law that none of these illegals can vote. Then why are they being removed from voter rolls all over the country to the tune of hundreds and hundreds of thousands are being removed on a monthly basis right now? I mean, they are totally and completely, whether it's the Pravda media, the Goebbels media, or people like Kamala Harris, the Democratic Party, are depending on people being galactically ignorant. Well, it couldn't be that they're letting them all in, those 17 million people, for a voting constituency because it's already illegal for them to vote. While they register them to vote and while they're having to be removed off the voter rolls all across the United States of America, 500,000 of them in Texas. And 250,000 of them registered this year in Texas. And they know, I mean, just imagine voting for idiots like this. I know the Republicans certainly are not perfect, but they're not idiots like this. I mean, believe me, there's some idiots. I'm talking about genuine people who try to be conservative and try to be Republican, like a Ted Cruz. This is far from perfect, but he tries to be conservative. Not talking about Mittens, Willard, Romney. Not talking about those idiots. So answer the question. You should be bold and proud. 17 million. If we actually kept track of how many people got saved here at Foundation Church every year, I'd boldly answer the question because I'd be proud of it. I'd answer the question no matter what. If everybody left the church and said, if we went from a 900 person church to a 200 member church, and somebody asked me how many people attend your church, 200, I'd answer it. And I love how she doesn't answer the question. Why wouldn't you answer? Democrats. So some Democrat, send me a reason why she wouldn't answer that question. Why wouldn't she answer it? And then she goes, and I just love the little semantical plays that she does. I'm glad you raised that issue and I agree with you. What do you agree with? He asked you a question. How can you agree with it asking a question? He would have to give a statement or he'd have to answer his own question for you to agree. I'm glad you raised this issue and I agree with you. What do you agree with? It's almost like Dana Carvey doing the Joe Biden thing. You know, and he goes like, you know, let me tell you something. And by the way, it makes absolutely no sense. This is the realm that these people live in. And then all the Christians take their medical advice and put on masks and close. They take the advice of people like Kamala Harris. You're like, Tom, that's not true. They're all voting for Trump. Yeah, they're voting for Trump, but they take Kamala's advice. They vote for Trump, but inject the Democratic Party globalist Kool-Aid into their veins. I mean, literally with the vaccinations. So then she drops the typical gaslit propaganda tripe of it's a broken system. Broken system? Okay, if it was a broken system under Trump, which was 8,000 illegal border crossings per month, and that was not at the end of his term. He had it even stricter than that at the end of his term. It was much smaller than that. But 8,000 illegal border entries per month under Trump. And that's your broken system, right? That would be the standard of the broken system. Aaron, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That would be the standard, right?
Yep.
8,000 a month. Then why was she at 15,000 a day? If it's just because it's a broke, you would have had to break the system worse, which she did. When she entered, they issued 94 EOs, executive orders. What were those 94 executive orders that Harris did, that Biden-Harris did? They were EOs eradicating Trump's EOs, which one of them was Remain in Mexico. They were all about how Trump got it from an absolute sieve to maybe 8,000 a month crossing the border at the high time of the year. Trump got it to that level. She eliminated 94 executive orders that got it to that level. One of the most important being remain in Mexico, where you go and you get your notice to appear and you sit in Mexico. You get your day in court, but you sit in Mexico. You want asylum? You wait in Mexico. She eliminated that. So you have Lakin Riley's murderer come into the country and kill her because she eliminated it. They used 94 executive orders to get rid of Trump's 94 border executive orders, which had closed down the border to basically a drip. And they opened a deluge, a Grand Canyon deluge, 17 million people. So the whole thing is, she talks about a broken system. Yeah, it's broken. It was broken. But by the way, why is it broken? And she acts like, I can't fix it myself. Why can't you fix it yourself? If somebody explain to me why, tell me, you remember a lot of us, we watch this goes back too far, although they both have knowledge of it, Aaron and Will. When you go back and you watch the old videos, remember when we were kids, when you watched like Bugs Bunny and everything, they had the video about how a bill becomes law. You go watch that. What does this have to do with anything? The law is already in place. You don't need to pass a bill to enforce a law that's already in place. We don't need to pass a bill to enforce that murder is a crime. We don't need to pass a bill to arrest murderers, do we? Then we don't need to pass a bill to close the border because the border is supposed to already be closed by statute. It already is closed. All you need to do is not let anybody in. And you can do anything you want to not let them in, by the way. Talking Tom, what are you talking about? Humane? I'm just going to put up a bunch of razor wire and water cannons. Not one person will ever get in this country again. Go to Israel. You know what? Let's not even pick on Israel all the time. Go to Egypt. See how many people get in Egypt. You know how many people get in Egypt every year? Zero. You know how many people get into Poland every year? Zero. You know how many people get into Hungary every year? Zero. How many terrorist attacks have they had in Hungary? Zero. You know why? Can't get in. They don't have to go through some sort of executive, legislative, judicial system. No. Your border is closed inherently. Just like it's illegal to kill a human being. You don't need to pass a bill so that after somebody kills another human being, you can arrest that person, do you? The border is the border. You're not allowed to cross it. That's just inherent. And by the way, it's already written into statutes. It's already in statutory federal law. It's done. There's nothing that needs to be broken. It needs to be fixed. That's just the rhetoric that she puts out so she can continue to allow our country to be invaded so that she gets future voters. That's all that it is. And then, of course, last thing I'll tell you on this one, you're like, Tom, you won't get, I'm not getting past the interview tonight. But she goes, the very first thing we did when after we took the oath, it's the oath of office, you stupid idiot. But anyway, after we took the oath, she says, the very first thing we did was try to pass a border bill, which, by the way, they own the Congress. Remember what a horrible day it was for all intents and purposes? They pretty much owned the House and the Senate at that time. That never even got put up. Well, I thought the very first, if you really wanted to do something at the border, wouldn't you have at least tried to get it passed? They didn't. But all it was, remember, she said it was a border bill. What was it? It was called the United States Citizenship Act. Is that of 2021? Does that sound like a border bill? Here's my title of my border bill. Ready? Close the frickin' border. 2024 bill. Author, Tom Lipley. You know what the word would be? The exact, you know, all the verbiage would be one. It wouldn't even be one page. It wouldn't be one paragraph. It wouldn't be one sentence. All my entire bill would be the title of the bill. Close the freaking border. That's it. You know why? Because you don't need to do anything else. All you got to do is close the border. You don't need that. There's no executive action, legislative action, congressional action, senatorial action, judicial action. Nothing. Nothing needs to be done. Close it. That's all you got to do. That's what they did in Eagle Pass, Texas. Eagle Pass, Texas at Shelby Park. 4,000 illegal border invaders crossing the southern border every single day, right? They put up a razor wire wall. Cost them less than $100,000. Less than 100 grand. Put up a razor wire wall. Went from 4,000 a day. What did it go down to, Aaron? Do you remember?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
0.0.
Yep.
4,000 one day. Put up some razor wire. Next day, zero. That's all you got to do. It's over. You wouldn't have to spend $10 million to close the border. You wouldn't have to spend $10 million. Close it right now. That's how ridiculous. And again, I just bring this up. Why do Christians listen to these people? CO2 is a threat. Transgenderism's good. Put on a mask and stand 6 feet apart. Okay. Why do you listen to these people? And I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. I'm just telling you, get it to people who actually do listen to these people. So she says that we were trying to tackle the border right after we took the oath. And it was called, does this even mention the border? United States Citizenship Act of 2021. And Brett Baird intervenes and says all that was legislation to fast track illegal border invaders getting citizenship. How's that closing the border? Absolutely not. But don't worry. Again, she said, now she's been in office now for 4 years and 9 months, but it's still, I mean, for 3 years and 9 months, but you know what? It's a priority. Of course, she doesn't even try to pass a real border bill until 2024. So 3 years, absolutely nothing. And then, of course, in a campaign year, an election year, she tries to pass the border security bill with cuckboy James Lankford out of Oklahoma. The worst of the worst are cuckboy Republicans that go along with these Democratic Party morons. Those are the ones. Listen, I can't stand Kamala Harris, but I can't stand James Lankford. Worse. The worst among you are the hypocrites. Not the sinners. The worst among you are the hypocrites. Spoken of in Jude 3 and 4. Jude only has one chapter. Jude 3 and 4. For certain individuals have secretly creeped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality. Those are the worst of all. Those are the worst kind of people. I can't stand the adversary, but I'll tell you what, I can't stand the adversary's tool boys inside of the Republican movement and the Christian movement. Worse than the adversaries themselves. All right, let's go to the next one. Vigilant Fox video, Kamala slurs her words and says, no future Herm, that's what she says, Herm, will occur while blaming Trump for Lake and Riley's death. She blames Trump for Lake and Riley's death. Play it for me.
Jocelyn Nungeri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you, do you owe those families an apology?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced for a loss that should not have occurred. So that is true. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future harm would occur. And this election in 20 days will determine whether we have a president of the United States who actually cares more about fixing a problem, even if it is not to their political advantage in an election, because there was a solution, Brett.
Madam Vice President, it was a policy decision in the early part of your administration. I will let one of the mothers talk about it. Take a listen.
Because of the Biden-Harris administration open border policies catch and release, they were enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program. This meant that they were released into the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter, Jocelyn Nungare's life. I believe the Biden-Harris administration open border policies are responsible for the death of my daughter.
That's the early days. So do you owe them an apology is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. I'm so sorry for her loss. Sincerely.
And again, she doesn't even apologize. Even Zuckerberg, who is the quintessential opportunist cuckboy, Zuckerberg, when he had to acknowledge that his own platform was causing children to be victimized sexually, turned around to the victims' families and actually apologized for it because his own policies led to their victimization. Who led to that girl? Who led to Jocelyn's rape and murder? Kamala Harris did it. She's the border czar. She did it. And you're like, you know, occasionally crimes will happen. You know, crimes will happen. Like in cities where you even have a great police department, crimes will happen. But it's not the policies of the police department that caused them to happen. It's not the police department busing in the criminals that are raping and killing women. The Biden-Harris administration flies them in. Flies them in on $150,000 per flight flights. When they don't want them to go through the trouble of crossing the border, they fly them in. And then, and of course, she's talking about it. She goes back to the border security bill from 9 months ago. Of course, didn't try to secure the border for 3 years. And then suddenly, campaign year, election year, she wants to secure the border. She brings it up, and Brett Baer kept having to bring her back on task and saying, no, 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 dear. This was in the first couple months of your administration. This has nothing to do with 9 months ago. This is from 3 years ago. You let in the person who murdered this young woman. You did it. Your policies did it. When you removed the 94 EOs from Donald Trump, you did it. Otherwise, he would have been remaining in Mexico. But instead, you bust him in and he raped and murdered this girl. You did it. Imagine it. And then she does the typical Kamala Harris thing. She doesn't really even apologize. I'm sorry for your loss. That's like going up to somebody and saying, I'm sorry that you're hurt. You're not apologizing for what you did to hurt them. You're just saying you're sorry that they're hurt. I'm sorry that you're hurt right now. I'm sorry that I hurt you. You're not apologizing for what you did. You're just apologizing that they're hurt. She says, those are tragic cases. Those are losses that should not have occurred. Okay, if they should not have occurred, then why didn't you stop them? You're saying that they shouldn't have occurred, so it's your fault. If you're saying they should not occur, see, I bring this up again, and I don't mean to be redundant. But you know what cops think about? I was a cop for 25 years, for those of you that are new to the show, right here, Sarasota County, Florida, right where I'm sitting. From 1992 to 2017. You know what you think about in law enforcement? People think that it's guns and arrests and car chases. It's not. All you think about in law enforcement is liability. What am I going to be blamed for after this incident? Imagine sleeping like a baby with the guy that impregnated the nanny and slapped the crap out of his girlfriend, Doug Emhoff, her current husband. Sleeping like a baby every night with him, knowing that you allowed in the person that has raped and murdered countless American citizens. 30,000 rapists and murders you've allowed in that we know of, those don't count gotaways. That I'm talking about 30,000 rapists and murderers. And by the way, this wasn't even one of the ones that they knew about. 30,000 rapists and murderers that she's allowed into this country over the last 3 years and 9 months. And by the way, those 30,000 rapists and murderers, they were convicted of it in their prior country. So CBP knew it at the time and let them in under her policies. That's why CBP doesn't want to be a cog in this wheel any longer, and they're endorsing Donald J. Trump because they don't want to, they probably can't sleep at night. Do you know the suicide rate that's gone up exponentially in the CBP? Because they know we're allowing in. You can get one video after another. CBP agents, a new James O'Keefe video out right now. They just suspended the CBP agent that participated in it. Because you know what he did? You know what he did to get suspended? Told the truth. That's all you have to do to be prosecuted and convicted of a crime, suspended, or get fired under leftists is tell the truth. But just imagine sleeping like a baby at night, knowing you've allowed in all these people. All these rapists and murders, thousands, tens of thousands into the country. She said right there, a loss that should not have occurred. If it should not have occurred, then somebody's at fault. Then who do you assign the fault to? It would be her. She's the border czar. Then it'd be Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden. And then what she says is, oh, you know what? We tried to pass a bill. 9 months ago, moron, this happened over 3 years ago, you stupid idiot. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. I can just stay on this all night long. Here is Benny Johnson video. Border Patrol is endorsing Trump. Play for me.
You said repeatedly that the border was secure. When in your mind did it start becoming a crisis?
I think we've had a broken immigration system transcending, by the way, Donald Trump's administration even before. Let's all be honest about that. I have no pride in saying that this is a perfect immigration system. I've been clear, I think we all are, that it needs to be fixed. We need more. I was just down at the border talking with border agents, and they will tell you, and I'm sure you probably, I know you investigate and you are a serious journalist. They will tell you, we need more judges. We need to process those cases faster. We need the support for those cases that should be prosecuted. Get fixed, Brett. Well, that's how the system works.
That's the premise of this question. There were 90 plus executive orders that were rescinded in the first days. Many of those were Trump border policies. I'm not going to stay here because there's other things to talk about, but you frequently talk to the Border Patrol Union for support of that bipartisan bill, and they did. They supported it. But they also just endorsed Donald Trump and said you've been, quote, a failure with border security. Why do you think they said that?
I think they're frustrated, and I get it. They want support. They want support, and that's...
She sounds like a 13-year-old girl in a middle school. I think they're frustrated. And I get who talks like this. She wants to be the president of the United States, and she's asked a point-blank question. Why do you think the CBP is endorsing your opponent? They're frustrated, and I get it. This person wants to be the president of the United States. And by the way, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but here she is wearing the same freaking earrings again. I mean, there's the same earrings, and I mean, they look very similar to ones that are like transmitters. I mean, come on. And then the last thing is, she says, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do, yeah, there they are, same things over and over. I mean, we got a kind of a large church here, so I see a lot of women, and I don't see women wearing the exact same earrings every time I see them. In the exact same setting, every time I see them. Here she is wearing the exact same earrings. I mean, come on. I mean, you've got billions of dollars. She's raised like $2 billion. Buy yourself another set of transmitter earrings and at least throw us off the trail a little bit. Throw us off the scent a little bit. And the last thing on the border stuff is she says, you know what? I was trying to get more judges. You know what more judges do? Facilitate the illegals into the country faster. That's all more judges do. They don't do anything else but that. And that was the point. So she says, I want to get more judges. What's her motive for getting more judges? To facilitate her future voters into the country faster so they can get the last four digits of a Social Security number, which is all that it takes to vote in the state of Texas, the last four digits of a Social Security number. And what does DHS give them at the border? A Social Security number. But then they say, we're not trying to get them to vote. No, you just give them the means to register to vote. Then they have that plausible deniability. All right, Wesley Hunt video. Kamala Harris admits tonight that the Border Patrol Union... That's the last... Is that... Where am I at, Will?
Benny Johnson.
There we go. Benny Johnson video. Kamala Harris, when asked why she supports transgender surgeries for prisoners. This is classic play for me.
Particular one from the Trump campaign has gotten a lot of attention.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access...
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law. And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report, that under Donald Trump's administration, these surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing, you know, stones when you're living in a glass house.
The Trump aides say that he never advocated for that prison policy and no gender transition surgeries happened during his presidency. Yeah, no surgeries happened in his presidency.
It's in black and white.
Would you still advocate for using taxpayer dollars for gender reassignment surgeries?
I will follow the law, just as I think Donald Trump would say he did.
You would have a say as president.
He spent $20 million on those ads, trying to create a sense of fear in the voters because he actually has no plan in this election that is about focusing on the needs of the American people.
$20 million to create fear, showing your very... As a matter of fact, go back to that. Aaron, see if you can find it, right, where that interview is, where they break to that, and it goes to the interview with the guy that's interviewing her that's dressed as a girl. Because I like that anyway. Even if you have to go 3-4 seconds in front of it, it's okay. We'll eat it. But here's the thing. Create fear. How are you creating fear by showing her words? So if we're creating fear by showing her words, then her words are creating fear. Would that not be correct? Yeah, exactly. About 5 seconds before that, guys. Just put it. We'll just let it play. About 5 seconds. There, right there. That's perfect. So I'm seeing stuff you guys aren't seeing on my left here. But anyway, so if she says that Donald Trump spent $20 million on that creating fear using her own words, so it would be her words that are creating fear then. And by the way, it's just, let's make it all very clear. You ask Donald Trump that question, what would he answer it? If you ask Donald Trump, are you in favor of taxpayer dollars going to transgender surgeries for criminals or anybody else? Ask Donald Trump, are you in favor of taxpayer dollars going to anybody's trans surgeries? Citizens, non-citizens, prisons, free people, no matter what, are you in favor of anybody getting taxpayer dollars to lop off their own penis? His answer would be absolutely freaking not. He's already answered it. So why isn't she answering the question? Her answer is, I'll follow the law. You're the chief law enforcement. If you get elected as president, I just threw up my mouth a little bit. If she gets elected as president, you are the chief law enforcement officer in the United States. You don't follow the law. You make laws, you dummy. So you gonna, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow? Okay, she says she's going to follow the law. So I assume then you're going to follow the very fact that Roe v. Wade's been overturned. You're going to follow the law. So if your MO, if your modus operandi, if how you're going to do things, you're going to simply follow the law, then you're going to make sure you follow every Trump-era law then, right? Sure, you're not going to take down his tariffs either, right? You're going to follow the law. That question, I mean, that answer makes no sense. And here's the thing about it. The reason why I want to show this video, and we've already done this before, but I got to do it again. And Aaron and I find it to be hysterical. Is Kamala Harris is being asked this question about transgender surgeries for prisoners by a giant man dressed as a woman.
That's right.
And the thing about it is, you can do all you want. That guy right there, he's fully penis and loves women. He just wants to make sure he gets in their bathroom so he can sneak peeks. It's true. I mean, yeah. We all know that.
No,
we all know that's what, we know that's their motivation.
Yeah.
We all know that, okay? These fully penis guys who are dating women want to get into women's bathrooms and locker rooms so they can sneak peeks because they're perfs, okay? We all know that's the case. That's the only – Jordan Peterson has a great expose on this, on some sort of eroticism. There's a title for it of men who get turned on by dressing up as women, but they're very much heterosexual, so they want to get in women's locker rooms so they can check out women naked. That's the whole thing. I mean, come on. So anyway, this shows you the absolute – disintegration of our culture, where you have somebody who's running for president of the United States being interviewed by a man dressed as a woman. And you can, again, this is what I was going to say, you can lop off whatever you want. That guy can do whatever he wants, and none of them will lop it off because he's a perv. But you can do whatever you want. You're still going to sound like and look like a dude. Listen to the person's voice, the dude dressed up as a woman who's interviewing Kamala in this video. Play for me.
Has gotten a lot of attention.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender.
You see what I mean? You hear the guy's voice?
For prisoners.
He's got a deeper voice than I do.
For prisoners?
Yeah. Think about the ridiculous. Look at where we've gone. In 3 years and 9 months, look at where we... There was no interviews like this before. Volodymyr Zelensky's own... A spokesperson for his military was a transgender man, was a man dressed, actually a trans woman is what you'd call them by the proper vernacular, but a man dressed as a woman. That's just speaking for Volodymyr Zelensky's military. And this, look at where we, all it takes is a bunch of Christians kowtowing, cooperating, acquiescing, capitulating to idiotic, asinine, idiotic mandates from the left for us to go as far as we've gone downhill in the last 3 years and 9 months. A bunch of capitulating Christians saying, you know what? We know that COVID is 99.997% survivable, but we're going to act like it's the opposite. And we're going to stay at home and follow all the left's dictates. And we're not going to show up to vote. And we're going to go ahead and acquiesce that other people don't have to show up to vote. So we're going to have a mass mail-in, no signature verification, no ID election. And then you get Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And look where we are. Look how far we've gone downhill in just 3 years and 9 months. People are talking about decades. Look at what it, 3 years and 9 months. Look where, and by the way, we were this bad 1 year into their administration. And it just keeps getting worse. Let me get, look at the idiocy. Donald Trump was actually, with Harris Faulkner today, was doing like a town hall because Donald Trump's actually doing things. Kamala Harris does nothing but this interview with Brett Baer for like 16 minutes. That's what she did all day. Imagine working like that. That'd be good. Aaron, Will, you'd love that, wouldn't you? Will, yeah, I mean, Aaron, you'd like the 16 minutes a day.
You're yeah.
Done. The rest of the day, you drive around, you fly around in private jets and have people kiss your butt and lick your boots all day long. That's what she does all day long. All right, here we go. Let me go on to the next one. Where am I at, Will? George video. Kamala Harris just got visibly angry with Brett Baer when Brett Baer asked her why Trump is so far ahead in the polls. Play it for me.
Why, if he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it's not supposed to be. It is not supposed to be a cakewalk
for anyone. So are they misguided, the 50%? Are they stupid? What is it?
Oh, God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within. An enemy within. Talking about the American people. Suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
One.
This is hysterical. Let me go back to front. So she's talking about Donald Trump claiming that Donald Trump is threatened to turn the American military on the American people. Show me that clip. Show it to me. Find it. Send it to Aaron. Find it. It doesn't exist. Donald Trump has never once said that he was going to turn the American military on the American citizenry ever. But Kamala Harris's own deputy director of the Defense Department yesterday unilaterally passed a law that now allows the military to use deadly force on the continental United States. That's like saying basically that the CIA can now do investigations on American soil. It doesn't say that. I'm just using that as an example. But that's a fact, by the way. We covered it yesterday. I'm trying to remember the numbers, like 5240.1, something like that from yesterday. Can't remember what it was, but I mean, I can't remember the exact, but it was passed. It was either Tuesday or Monday. It was passed. Basically, an executive order coming from the Department of Defense. It was actually the woman who's currently kind of running the Defense Department as the deputy director of the Defense Department passed an executive order. Now, and Alex Jones has been warning about this for 30 years, saying that it was in the works, that leftist globalists were going to turn the United States military against United States citizens. Never has happened until when? October of 2024, under the Harris-Biden administration. And then she simultaneously, while they're doing exactly what she's accusing Donald Trump of doing, she's actually passing a law doing it herself. She claims Donald Trump has threatened to turn the American military against the United States citizens. She just passed an executive order to do the very thing that she's saying Donald Trump is threatened to do. I'd rather have somebody threaten to do it, even though he never did it. He never threatened it. I'd rather have somebody threaten it than actually do it. But that's exactly, and it's the same thing she says all the time. He's going to turn the judicial system against his political opponents. He's going to weaponize the DOJ. That's exactly what they've done. So again, and everybody gets tired of hearing this stuff, and I don't blame you. The projection. The very things they say that Donald Trump will do, they've been doing for the last 3 years and 9 months. Who has ever raided a prior president's home? Did we raid Clinton's home? Did we raid Obama's home? Both of them committed heinous crimes. Have we ever raided any of our political opponents' homes ever? No. And then they have the audacity, after doing it themselves, to claim that we'll do it. That we'll turn the DOJ against them. What they're so afraid of is retribution, which is exactly what needs to happen. Everybody who's committed political crimes or crimes against rights, follow Mike Davis to get a better explanation on that. crimes against rights needs to be criminally tried. I don't have time to get into this right now, but that's exactly what needs to happen. Starting on January 20th, 2025, there needs to be a list of people who have committed crimes and a list of people who need to be fired and a list of people who need to be sued. And it all needs to be taken care of, period. That's where all of our money needs to go. Instead of constantly putting money in useless, absolutely useless endeavors, let's actually clean this country up. All right, where the heck am I, Will? Colin Rugg. New Kamala Harris fumes after Fox News has a clip ready of Trump after she claimed he called Americans the enemy within. Play for me.
He's the one who talks about an enemy within. An enemy within. Talking about the American people. Suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
We asked that question to the former president today. Harris Faulkner had a town hall, and this is how he responded.
I heard about that. They were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest gangster. No, it's right. True.
We've
no,
got
but
a
think
question.
Of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing. So,
Brett, I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within that he has repeated when he's speaking about the American people. That's not what you just showed.
Well, he was asked
no,
about that
no,
specific...
No, that's not what you just showed, in all fairness and respect to you.
I'm telling you that was the question that we asked him.
You didn't show that, and here's the bottom line. He has repeated it many times, and you and I both know that. And you and I both know that he has talked about turning the American military on the American people. He has talked about going after people who are engaged in peaceful protest. He has talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, the president of the United States, in the United States of America, should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it.
The only people locking anybody up is you. I mean, imagine sitting there and you're actually arguing that Donald Trump wants to lock up his political opponents. Steve Bannon's in prison right now. Peter Navarro just got out. They raided Project Veritas. They raided James O'Keefe. They raided Rudy Giuliani. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They arrested Navarro. They arrested Bannon. They raided Roger Stone and arrested Roger Stone. Imagine having the audacity to sit there and say, Donald Trump's going to do all the things we've already done. And she talks about he's going to arrest peaceful protesters, and Will brought this up. J6, how many? They're shooting for 1,400 arrests for J6? For what? For what? You have Matthew Graves, the United States attorney in that area, who's nothing more than a globalist cuckboy. He himself, he's looking for 1,000 more arrests of people who knowingly trespassed while they unknowingly trespassed. If the barriers are down because Ray Epps took them down, or the Capitol Police themselves took them down, so there's no signs that say do not go beyond this area, or do not pass this line, or do not enter this area, then how would you know that you're trespassing? They didn't. So none of them knew they were trespassing, and he wants to go after them for knowingly trespassing. And it'll work because he'll bring these charges and these affidavits and these capiuses in front of Tanya Shutkin, who will rubber stamp their conviction and add a few more years on it due to the false testimony of people like Fanon and Harry Dunn and Gunnell and all the other Capitol Police bold-faced perjurious liars. Unbelievable, the audacity of the people. The only people arresting peaceful protesters is the Democratic Party. That's it. She's the one who, through the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which of course is Tim Walz's state, wanted to release looters, rapists, and murderers. Like she does at the border every day. Every day, another rapist comes in, another murderer comes in. Another rapist comes in, another murderer comes in. 30,000 of them that we know so far. 30,000 of them so far. And she has the audacity. She has the audacity to say that Donald Trump will weaponize the DOJ when that's all that's happened over the last 3 years, 9 months. He faces one charge after another. And then not only this, and I don't mean to go on this long diatribe, but not only did they weaponize the DOJ has these tentacles that reach down to Atlanta, Georgia, We have Nathan Wade, who got $700,000 from Fannie Willis as her lover, meeting for 24 hours at the White House, meeting with White House attorneys in the Atlanta case. Letitia James meeting with White House attorneys for the New York case. The DOJ dispatches its number three in command, Matthew Colangelo, to Alvin Bragg at the NYC case, the 34 felony convictions. Unbelievable. I mean, the audacity of the people. You think you just keep your mouth shut. And Aaron brought this. I wanted to make sure glad we actually got the exact verbiage correctly. She's talking about he's going to turn the military on the United States citizenry, on the United States citizens, right? That's going to happen. This is what they just passed. As the United States prepares for one of the most controversial and closely watched elections in history, a concerning update to the DOD Directive 5240.01 has quietly been put into effect. Reissued on September 27th, 2024, the directive governs the Department of Defense's intelligence activities and now includes provisions authorizing lethal force in certain circumstances when assisting civilian law enforcement, while the directive forbids assassination. Belgium did it. I'm glad the Marine Corps can't be dispatched now to assassinate United States citizens.
That makes it better.
That makes it way better. I mean, I feel way better now. It's great now. I feel much better about the country now. It forbids assassination. It opens the door to lethal interventions under national security conditions. So while she's passing 5240, authorizing the Marine Corps, the Army, and the Navy to just use lethal force.
Right.
Against United States citizens, she claims Donald Trump is going to turn the military against United States citizens. He never did any of those things. Was there a 5240? Correct me if I'm wrong. Nope. Is there a 5240 under Donald Trump?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
There is under Kamala Harris, though, right?
Yep.
Doing exactly what they say somebody else is going to do. Being exactly what they say somebody else is. Wesley Hunt video. 79% of Americans say the country's on the wrong track. Play for me.
More than 70% of people turn the page
on rhetoric that people are frankly exhausted of, Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become. But listen, over the last decade, it.
Imagine answering a question, and as Will said, she hasn't answered her question yet. It was basically, we've gone through the whole thing. So she hasn't answered her question yet, but imagine answering a question where you're asked by Brad Barrett, 79% of Americans, that's Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, 79% of them say that the country's on the wrong track, and her answer is Donald Trump. I'm surprised it wasn't. I was raised in a middle-class family. But her answer was Donald Trump. You've been in office for 3 years and 9 months. And Aaron brought this up because I used to think the same thing during the Obama administration. I got so sick and tired of hearing Hussein say in 2014, 2015 that it was George W. Bush's fault. Okay, he was elected into office in 2008. early 2009. So 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 14, 15, and all of 16. And in year 16, he's still blaming W. And listen, I am no George W. Bush fan. I'm just telling you, you've been in office for 8 years and you can't fix it. So her answer to the question about 79% of Americans, why are 79% of Americans saying that this country is on the wrong track? And her first two words that come out of her ridiculous mouth is Donald Trump. That's her answer. Donald, you've been in office. You give me, if I couldn't fix things in 4 years, I would quit myself. But the thing is, she doesn't want to fix things. She just wants to profit off the problems. That's a real easy summation of what's going on around the world. Am I on Colin Rugg, Will?
Yes, sir.
Colin Rugg video. New Brett Baer asked Kamala Harris when she first noticed Joe Biden was mentally unstable. Play for me.
But you call Donald Trump.
The significance
of that. You call Donald Trump...
He's misguided. You say now
he's unstable. He is unstable, Brett.
He's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
He's not stable.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden, I have watched from the Oval Office to the Situation Room. And he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done in making very important decisions on behalf of the American people. Joe Biden is not on the ballot.
I understand.
And Donald Trump.
But you talked about it.
And Donald Trump
is. After George Clooney said within a few minutes of talking to President Biden at a fundraiser that he thought this was not the same Joe Biden that we saw on the debate stage.
Donald Trump is on the ballot.
I understand.
So she says, simply asked the question, wouldn't you answer, if someone came up to me and said, when was the first time that you noticed that Will was mentally unstable? I would say, Will has never been mentally unstable, ever. It's an easy question, right?
Thank you, Tom.
Or, you're welcome, Will. It's an easy question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when was the first time you ever noticed Aaron Yeager being mentally unstable? I've never seen it. Very easy question. So why did she answer that way? When did you first notice that the diminishing mental acuity of Joe Biden? Her answer, of course, just the typical tripe. I'm surprised again she didn't answer with I was raised in a middle-class family. But why didn't she just start? Instead, she launches into, I've been here with Joe, and I've been, that's not the freaking question. When did you first notice that his mental acuity was diminishing? When did you notice it? The answer is either it never happened or this is when I noticed it. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
That's the answer to the question.
Easy.
It never happened. Go, Aaron, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say easy. Yeah, it's easy.
Easy, right? Yeah. I never saw it.
No.
I never saw any diminished capacity. Never. Yeah. I never saw it. That's what I would say.
Right.
About anybody that I knew that had no diminished capacity, I would say I never saw it. Why does she answer it that way? Because she saw it and then lied about it for 4 years. This is him yesterday or today. Play it for me.
She beat Trump so badly in the debate, he's scared to death to beat her again. That's a fact. Tough guy, right? Tough guy.
He's so scared of her in the debate that he's afraid he'll beat her again. What? He's afraid he'll beat her again. That's what he just said. And that's who she defended for three years. She still says, okay, then why are you getting rid of him? How does that make sense to anybody? I never noticed any diminished capacity, but yet he can't be president in 4 months. How does that, I mean, again, that's just like get a vaccine for a 99.997% survival virus. Wear a mask that does nothing. Act like men are women and women are men. It makes absolutely no sense. CO2 is going to kill you. At what level? We don't know, but that's all act like it's going to kill you at any moment. All of it is absolute asinine idiocy. So here's what he said. Here's what Brett Baer said about what happened after the debate, or actually how the debate ended. Play for me, Will.
Dana, you've been on the other side. You've been on the wrapper as a press secretary interviewing a president. And, you know, I'm talking like four people waving their hands like it's got to stop. So, Martha, final. Yeah, I had to dismount there at the end. There's so many things, and she maybe should do more of these.
Madam Vice President,
and
they're giving me a hard rap.
Well,
here.
I thank you for the time.
I thank you for the
it's
time.
It's good to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One. So there's four people off camera going, this has to stop. Why does it have to stop? You were supposed to be there at 5. You got there at 5:15. You were supposed to do 35 minutes. You did less than 20. Why does it have to stop? It has to stop. It has to stop. It's like all of Biden's guardians at every press event. Okay, time for everybody to go. And everyone tries to answer questions while he grins like a pervert at the camera. We're all sitting there going, wow, that's the guy with his finger on the nuclear button. And why does it have to stop? Where does she have to be? Pull up. Let's go on Twitter right now. Where did she go after this? Because that ended at 5 o'clock. It ended somewhere around probably, let's say, 5:40 Eastern time. Because it was either D.C. or New York where the interview was conducted. What did she do afterwards? Where did she have to be? Why did it have to end? He had a lot more questions for her. He wanted to keep it going. And they flagged. Notice he was surprised because she had her cackling moronic hyena buddies behind him going, it has to stop. So he had to stop and he had a lot more questions. According to what Brett Baer said himself, I had lots more questions, but it was shut down by them. Why is it shut down? Why? And it just, if you're a leftard and you watch this, explain to me the virtue behind that. Explain to me how that in any way, shape, or form makes her look good. Explain to me how that makes her at all qualifying to be president. Explain to me how that makes her more presidential, that she's late and then shuts the interview down before it's supposed to end. How does that make her more presidential? Explain that to me. I mean, does that make her, how does that make her a great, like, global ambassador that she can't even conduct an interview with Brett Baird for more than 15, 20 minutes max? And again, she already did the one with Dana Bash, and that one was for 18 minutes. So that's all we've gotten since August 6th. August 6th, and this person's running for president of the United States. Again, if you're a leftard, explain to me the virtue behind that. Explain to me the value behind her not talking at all to media. All right, that's it. 20 after. I was afraid I wouldn't get through any. I got a lot more stuff. Here's my whole stack for tonight. Appreciate you guys. Texas Billy, love you, man. I hope you're feeling good. $50. Tammy L. Margritter, as always, $10. Gianna Jones, $10. The Matriarch of the Chat, Fedora the Explorer, $10. Nitsua, $99, $10. Riffadota, $10. Thank you guys so much. Stick around for the postgame. Postgame's awesome. Seriously, it is awesome. It's mostly positive. It is awesome. Stick around for the postgame. I'll be in the chat during the postgame. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you? That you need to receive it. Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.